Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the Hosted Shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest and click on the Register to be a Guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. Again, that email address to contact me if you want to be a guest blogger is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. Again, that number to call or text me is 281-785-0660. If you want to call into the show with a question or a brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363. Again, that number to call with a question or a brief comment is 347-989-1363. And press option 1 to connect with a producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg or at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can tweet me at alansimberg@alansimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being brought to you by Standard Process and MediHerb. Standard Process is a company in Wisconsin that has a farm where they grow organic vegetables. They use those organic vegetables in their whole food supplements. Whole food supplements are very different from the supplements you would either purchase in a health food store or a pharmacy because they are made from whole foods. There are a few other companies that do include some foods in their products, but Standard Process was the first company to actually start this practice. Now, Standard Process, in a sense, partners with another company called MediHerb, and they are located in Australia, and they produce some of the finest herbs available to people. The herbs that MediHerb produces are standardized. I apologize. They are not standardized. They are unstandardized. Basically, what that means is the herbs that they put in their supplements are in the same form and pattern as nature creates them. If they were standardized, that would mean that they were put together from the perspective of the way us humans think they should be, very similar to the way drugs are put together by the pharmaceutical companies. Now, the difference between a whole food supplement and what I will refer to as a synthetic supplement is that the synthetic supplements are composed of chemicals. The whole food supplements are composed of whole foods. The reason why I highly recommend whole food supplements is because they contain all the known and unknown factors that our body needs from the different foods in order for our bodies not only to maintain our health, but to attain the highest level of health possible. The whole food supplements contain all the factors that your body needs. If you take synthetic supplements over a consistent period of time and your diet is compromised in any way, and quite frankly, it's really difficult not to have a compromised diet today, eventually what can happen is your body will be drained of the nutrients that are not contained in the synthetic supplements so that they can work as effectively as possible. And what can happen over time is eventually the symptoms that you're looking to either manage or avoid by taking the synthetic supplements can actually develop. So that is why I recommend whole food supplements. And of course, my bottom line is eat the most wholesome foods possible that have as few or no toxins as possible. With that being said, I want to talk a little bit today about the importance of communication, and I cannot overemphasize the importance of communication. As a licensed therapist, I have had the experience of seeing that so many problems that people come to me to talk about that are particularly related to relationships has so much been affected by what I would refer to as dysfunctional communication. By dysfunctional communication, what I'm basically talking about is that two people could be thinking that they're talking about the same thing when they're really not. They're actually talking about entirely different things. So one of the things to keep in mind about effective communication is that there is a sender and a receiver. As simple as that may sound, it is highly significant to have that awareness. Because if the sender does not send his or her message in the clearest way possible, and or if it is not received as intended, there can be misunderstanding, hurt feelings, and unnecessary arguing. Now, a couple of quick tips about communication is whenever you're talking with someone about something that bothers you, it is always best to start your statement with the word I as opposed to you. When you say, I feel upset when you, and you describe the behavior or whatever it is that's happened that has resulted in your being upset, you are taking responsibility for your feelings. No one can make us feel anything. When you start the statement with you, you make me angry. You don't know what you're doing. That immediately contributes to the creation of a defensive posture, which in many cases can only end up with a really bad discussion. And by bad discussion, I mean a discussion that really doesn't get anywhere and can't escalate. Another quick tip is whenever you have a question that you want to ask someone, it is always best to start the question with the word what as opposed to why. What is the reason you said that as opposed to why did you say that? Why, again, creates or contributes to the creation of a defensive posture. When you start the statement with the word what, you're just basically asking for information. Now, the last point I want to make is that a very common mistake in communication is when someone speaks, the person who's listening does not acknowledge in any way that what has been said has been heard. This is a very big mistake, and this can lead to very quick escalation of arguing. So what I highly recommend is that when someone's talking to you, and again, it's not every little thing, it depends on the nature of the discussion, but generally speaking, it makes a lot of sense to somehow acknowledge not only that you've heard what the person said, but also perhaps even the fact of whether you agree or disagree once that person is done making their point. If you just jump in defensively and start explaining, well, I did that because, or you don't know what you're talking about, it has a way of short-circuiting positive communication. So the best overall goal of communication is for both people to come away from that conversation feeling positive. A technical way of describing that is to say to walk away from that conversation with a win-win feeling, which means you started out with a win-win intention. We're going to go to commercial break now, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my guest.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to lifechanginsightswithdralansimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My guest today is Adam Timm. Adam is a stress management consultant, meditation coach, award-winning speaker, and a best-selling author. In 2011, Adam started a meditation-based stress reduction program at the LAPD Dispatch Center. The first of its kind, the program has helped over 100 dispatchers break free from chronic stress. Through his company, Zen Life Services, Adam offers coaching and consultation services to people who work in high-stress organizations. Adam has an Amazon best-selling book titled Stress is Optional and How to Kick the Habit. And now let's learn more about Adam. Hello, Adam, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Alan, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
Okay. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today.
Okay. Awesome. So I'll start from the start. I grew up in Minnesota, in a small town near the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, about a town of about 2,500 people. And my early experience with, we'll say, stress was I'm the oldest of five, and my parents were always provide for the five of us kids. And I saw that working a couple of different jobs and trying to put food on the table affected my parents. Luckily they took the time to support us and to go to our events, but I saw that there was an underlying sense of tension and frustration. And as I developed my own habit of being stressed, tense, and anxious, I reached a breaking point in my mid-20s, and that's kind of what led me to do the work that I do.
And when you say you reached your breaking point, meaning that the stress became overwhelming for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was about 7 years into my career as a 911 operator where I really felt my life was a prison. I had daily chronic indigestion, tension headaches, anger and frustration at the slightest thing, short temper. And I looked at my life and nothing was...
Adam, we've lost you a little bit. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I heard you say that you got to a certain point and then your voice kind of just went out. You were talking about being a 911 operator.
Yes. So I was about 7 years into my career as a 911 operator. Yeah. I struck a breaking point. And this breaking point was looking at my life and realizing nothing was going right. I had a difficult toxic relationship at home. I had chronic tension headaches, indigestion and ulcers. I was going to the doctor regularly, trying to find out what was wrong with me. And luckily at about this time, I found the practice of meditation and some other simple practices that allowed me to start taking time for myself and see the worn out ways of thinking, acting, and being that were holding me in this chronically stressed state.
So obviously a lot of what you do in working with people comes from your past experience. And one of the things that I think is a real big positive is you didn't just read something out of a book and say, I wonder if this works. You actually applied the principles that you talked to others about to yourself, found what works, what didn't work. I'm guessing you also identified several options for people, and then realized that if it worked for you, it could work for other people, and luckily you found that it did.
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened. Within 6 months of slowing down and really committing to creating a new life, my life had transformed, and I had to share it with others. And that's how I started the meditation stress reduction program at the 911 dispatch center. I was like, hey, this would probably work for other people. And so I just submitted a proposal to my superiors there, and they said, anything that will help the coworkers and help decrease stress, we will support. And it's just been amazing, the stories that have come out of that program itself.
So to clear up any misconceptions that any of the listeners may have, could you please just explain a little bit what your understanding is of stress? What actually is stress?
What I qualify stress as in my book is stress is the difference between where we are and where we'd like to be in our life. And I really like the example of being stuck in a traffic jam. I'm not sure how it is for you in Houston, but in LA we have traffic and lots of freeways, and invariably sometime during the week you left the house a little bit too late, and you're hoping for a smooth flowing freeway so you're not late to work, and suddenly you're stuck in gridlock. And there's stress associated with that. We can feel the telltale tension in the shoulders and the stories in our mind that crank up even more tension, and we can actually pull the plug on that pressure, and we can dial back the stressful thoughts by creating some space, but we need a practice that allows us to do that.
So focusing in on your book, Stress is Optional, How to Kick the Habit, let's talk a little bit about, like, when you say create space where or between what?
Well, first, I want to say a little bit about my view on meditation. Meditation has certain connotation. I think that some people are averse to the idea of meditating because they've heard something about it, or they think that it's only Eastern religions or Eastern philosophy. What I believe meditation is, and I teach this to my clients, is that it's just a practice of sitting still for some amount of time during the day and just breathing. And so by sitting and breathing, we begin to open up the space in our thinking. So it starts with our thoughts. And then, because we're taking this time for ourselves, 10 minutes, we begin to open up some space in the rest of our day. And as we start to identify how rushed out we are and how we're actually making choices each day that keep us rushed out day after day, week after week, we can say, whoa, I don't want to live like this anymore. And that's really what happened to me. It was like I was attracted to all of these things that were just leaving me completely out of balance. And so I began to let go of those things that no longer served me and suddenly had a lot more space. And what happens through that space, joy and happiness starts to creep through, like sunshine on a cloudy day.
So from your description, it seems like your book title, and I'm sure what's also in your book, just kind of follows suit in the sense that if we're talking about being stressed from the perspective of being overwhelmed, and you introduce the idea of creating space, what I'm basically hearing you say is rather than allowing yourself to stay caught up in the rush and the tension, you initially create breaks in that stream of tension, number one, to show yourself that you can do it, and then also to free you to be able to do things much more effectively and efficiently. Would you agree with that, or you want to add something to that?
No, I think that's a perfect reflection of what I'm talking about. And really, I think that's really hard to do because we live in this high-paced, type A society where faster is better and we've got increasing workload because of more technology. So that's what I'm kind of alluding to when I say we can actually kick the habit, but we have to identify our habitual way is tension and anxiety.
And realize that it is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And something that can sound negative, but it really isn't, but that if we can realize and accept that we're contributing to it, it also empowers us to be able to make the changes and to know that we can make the changes because we're the ones, to a certain degree, that are doing it.
Exactly. I love that. It is really like suddenly we have this awareness. So when I speak to groups, I talk about awareness so that we can take action. Once we see how we are adding to our stress levels by agreeing to things that we'd rather not do, by not saying no, by taking on too much. When we identify these things that we're doing, we can say, I'd rather do something else, and we act in a different way.
And I think that what also happens is, obviously, as you said, and I totally agree with you, awareness is a very crucial first step. And then the next part would be realization. Because awareness compared to realization is a little bit more concrete, a little bit more surface. But awareness is important and can really result in many positive things. But when you have awareness plus realization, understanding what's behind it, and, as you said, take action, I think one of the primary positives that come from that is you don't just do something once and you have kind of a nice result and it's like, well, how do I get that back? But you also ingrain what you understand and what you do so you can repeat it and consistently minimize the amount of stress and the impact it has on you.
I like that. I've never actually heard that, the difference between awareness versus realization. So you would say that awareness is seeing what's happening. Realization is seeing what's happening and how it applies to you.
Yes, it implies, and it actually is, it's a deeper understanding.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I don't think the deeper understanding is necessary, but it solidifies and brings people to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be aware that when someone says something to me, I get upset. But if I can realize the reason that I get upset, okay, so maybe I have low self-esteem, mm-hmm. and maybe I take that as a criticism or an insult against me, well, of course I'm going to get upset.
Yeah.
But then when I'm able to realize that person did not have that intention.
Yeah.
And I think the work that you do with all the different people that you work with and all the highly stressful situations that, you know, the different organizations where you do your work, I think it's such a vital contribution to society because, you know, I really believe, I mean, there's many different ways to say what I'm about to say, but one way is like we are all one. That's more of a spiritual principle.
Yeah.
And everyone that you affect in a positive way has the potential that they will then affect someone else in a positive way.
So true, and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. So given the work that you do with the LAPD and all the other organizations you work with, if these people are overly stressed and their primary purpose is to help others, by you doing the work that you do, you actually contribute to improving the quality of the work they do and also, obviously, their own lives.
Yeah, it's amazing to contemplate the ripple effect. So, say, each 911 operator has literally thousands of contacts with the citizens of L.A. The subtle shift towards a more positive direction as a result of them feeling less stressed, they're going to treat that person on the other end of the line just a little bit better. And I mean, I saw that in my own career, because it was 3 years before I had experienced this transformation, and I finally left the LAPD to do my work full time. During that 3 years, I saw that transformation. I saw myself more present for callers, more present and available toward the circumstances of my life, because I was no longer having to deal with my life. Listen to how I explain it. I was dealing with my life through a chronically stressed state instead of just meeting life in an open and receptive way.
Mm-hmm. And in a certain sense, your effectiveness at managing your life increased.
Absolutely.
And then that opened the door to your growing effectiveness in affecting others in known and unknown ways, just being the way you were, just walking into a room and saying hello in a non-stressed way as opposed to a stressed way can make a gigantic difference.
Huge. And that's really the promise of the work I do. And I have a business partner too, so it's the work that we do is making these subtle individual shifts, because it's just one person at a time. If we can just shift one person, one degree at a time towards a life that is more in alignment with the life that they want to create, their authentic journey, it's amazing what happens.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important keys to keep in mind is not to take responsibility for doing that, but have the intention to do it.
Intention is so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's so much lighter than it's a responsibility. It's just, if my intention is to live a life of positivity and virtue and integrity, we live through that intention. We see it shape the kind of day-to-day basis.
And you also reap the positive energy of that. Well, we've come to the end of the interview. But before we actually end, I know that was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Great conversation, Dr. Allen.
Yes, I really enjoyed it myself. But before we end, I really want to give you the opportunity to give the listening audience your contact information. Wonderful. Again, please mention your book and anything else that you would like them to know.
Fantastic, fantastic. If anything that you heard today was inspirational, we'd love for you to join us. We have a weekly e-zine that we send out, and you can go to www.liveazenlife.com and just put your information in there. And every week we send out inspirational quotes and a stress relief tip and a mindful moment to help you create more space and take more me time on a weekly basis. And if you have any questions, please feel free to send me an email at adam@liveazenlife.com.
Adam, I want to thank you for being a guest today, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Dr. Allen, it was truly a pleasure. You as well.
Okay, thank you.
And
before we go to commercial break, I just want to remind everyone that this preceding segment of the show is brought to you by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that has a farm in Wisconsin where they grow organic vegetables and they produce whole food supplements. If you have any questions about that, feel free to either text or call me at 281-785-0660, or you can also email me at alan@alansimberg.com. We're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to introduce my next guest.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Allen Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Allen Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My second guest today is Shawnjella Pierce. Shawnjella is an author, Reiki practitioner, business owner, holistic lifestyle coach, and meditation instructor who specializes in mindfulness meditation and Qigong. She has a master's degree in the field of education with 3.5 years of post-master's education in naturopathic medicine. This includes mind-body therapy, traditional Chinese medicine, botanical medicine, nutrition, hydrotherapy, as well as other healing modalities. Her passion for teaching led her to design the Meditation for Health program. The Meditation for Health program is based on her book, Awakening to the Healing Powers Within, and is designed to help people utilize the benefits of meditation as well as other holistic lifestyle changes to live a harmonious, healthy, and carefree life. And now let's learn more about Shawnjella. Hello, Shawnjella, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today.
Well, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and I would say I had a past life that always led me to seek more, because I always wanted to improve myself, become greater than what I was, and so I just kept seeking and seeking. I never resonated with the traditional way of healing, so I sought non-traditional methods, and that eventually led me to meditation, Reiki, and other holistic lifestyle techniques.
So one question that I have for you is, when you work with people, how do you determine which modality would most benefit each person?
Generally, I use my instincts. I've developed that over the years through my practice with meditation. And I sit there and I quietly listen to my client, and usually within that conversation, the idea will pop in my mind, or the client will say it, and it'll be like, okay, yes, that's the one, and we'll go from there.
Now, one thing that I've become aware of over the years is one word can have very different meanings to different people. So something I think would be useful for the listening audience to learn about you is what your idea is about meditation. What actually is meditation according to the way that you see it?
Well, the way I see it, to try to keep it simple for people, because meditation does have many different definitions, but I think the one that resonates with many who have no idea what it means, it really is just focus. Meditation is focus. You come so focused and on what you're doing that basically all other sensations diminish from your reality. So you're just really extremely focused, whether you're focused on your breath, whether you're focused on a body sensation, or you can be focused on a mantra. You could be focused on moving and breathing at the same time, like with Qigong and Tai Chi. So it's really just focus.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that you've had the experience of talking with a client about meditation, and either before they started or maybe even a few minutes into it, they may have mentioned that they had difficulty staying focused on whatever it was that was decided they were going to focus on. What might you suggest to people to help them to be able to focus more efficiently and effectively?
Yeah, that's definitely a very common issue with people who meditate, especially those in the beginning, and even some of those who've been meditating for a while. And really, I just encourage them to keep doing it, because the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It really is just a training of your mind. You think of your mind as a muscle, and you just need to work it and work it and work it and get it conditioned to really just be able to maintain focus for a longer and longer period of time. So this really is just this, just commitment and just knowing that it's a process.
So in a sense, it sounds like at least part of what you do is you encourage them to just stay with it and kind of give them that extra idea of it will develop. It may not happen right away, but just stay with it and it will happen more and more.
Yeah, it really is. It's meditation to me is a lifestyle change. It's something that you develop over time. It's something that you're going to commit to. It's not a pharmaceutical drug, and it's going to work the next day and all your problems are gone. This is something that you have to commit to do over time, and over time you'll see that your whole life is just blossom because you made that commitment to meditate.
How would you explain the relationship between your meditation for health program with your book, Awakening to the Healing Powers Within?
Well, they're really one and the same, yet different.
Oh, good.
Well, when I had the idea of writing the book, I really wanted to keep it simple because I just like, I'm a very plain and simple get to the point person, and that's basically how I wrote the book. And so after I wrote it, I was like, wow, this is really good. But then I started getting more and more questions about it, and so I was like, why? I need to expand on this. And then as a teacher, I love to teach, so when you teach, you're always constantly evolving your material. And so I said, well, instead of rewriting the book over and over with different editions, I think the best thing to do would be like to create an online course. And then with the online course, I could just continuously evolve. As my students ask questions, I could just add that material in, and it'll just continuously evolve to help people learn how to meditate and learn how to control their thoughts.
It was a rather natural progression then.
Yes, yes. It definitely was a progression, yeah. I didn't think of the course when I started writing the book, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk some about your book. What might somebody be going through in their lives? What might some of their challenges be that would fit right into what the focus and the intention of your book is?
Well, it would be a person who is looking for an alternative way to heal, basically. They've maybe gone down the traditional road and it's not resonating with them, and yet they need a little bit more guidance on what does self-healing mean? What is that concept? What is my mind, you know? They may never have any concept that how your mind is affecting your health. So someone who's really new to self-healing would be a person who this book is catered to.
Okay. And from what you just said, it sounds like the primary focus or maybe the underlying focus of the book is how your mind can affect your health.
Yes, yes. The mind-body connection.
Okay.
Is really a lot of the book is basically that. It's, yeah, it's everything you think and is how it's affecting your body, and really just a simple method to monitor how your thoughts are affecting your emotional, physical, and spiritual health.
So in the book, do you have like maybe quizzes or assessments that people can take to get a clear understanding of what they're going through or maybe a direction they need to take?
No, it's very simple. There are no quizzes. There's a worksheet that kind of helps guide them on after they make choices about what they may do in a particular situation. That's really the only interactive material in the book. There is a meditation in the book as well, but I really kept it simple. In my program, though, we do go through a process of helping to guide people even more through the material.
And when you talk with them about the different modalities, does that tend to be a joint decision where maybe like you'll explain your ideas and see if they maybe would prefer to do one thing over another? Or is it more like from your intuition, you get a very strong sense of what would be most helpful and you just recommend that to them?
Yes, it's the second, the latter. Okay. It's basically based on intuition because you can just get an idea of what people resonate with when you just sit there and just quiet your mind and kind of let the universe talk to you.
Now, I'm going to guess that there are some people in the listening audience that do not know what Qigong is. So if you could please just Qigong, is that like a woman thing? Qigong, what is that?
Yeah, it's Qigong, but it's it can be spelled several ways. Usually it's spelled Qigong.
Uh-huh.
Most of it don't pronounce it Qigong.
No.
And Qigong is it's an ancient Chinese form of, it's an energy healing system. It involves meditation, moving meditation, sitting meditation, visualization. It has aspects of mindfulness. So it's like this whole system that is designed to help a person heal themselves, basically, because the concept is that we're all energy, And when we're vibrating at an ultimate level, then we're in health. But when there's any type of blockage in the body, then we have some type of dis-ease in our body. So the basic premise is just to open up our channels, allow the energy to flow, and then we become one with our ultimate health.
So that's the idea of the movement then to, I guess one way of saying it would be to break the blockages, create more of a flow, which then would lead to greater health.
Yes, yes. And the moves are simple, it's very simple. I know a lot of people have probably heard of Tai Chi or maybe seen a group of people maybe in the park doing these slow motion movements. That's very similar to Qigong because Tai Chi is a form of Qigong.
Now, are there different forms or schools of Qigong?
Oh, my gosh, yes. There are thousands of forms of Qigong. It's in practice for like 5,000 years. So, yeah, there are definitely a lot of different styles, yeah.
So that could be a real challenge, picking the style that would suit a particular person. I mean, for the person to do that.
Well, not really, because the essence and the foundation is similar. It's really controlling, learning to control your thoughts, coordinating your movement with your breath. It's, you know, the foundation of Qigong throughout many styles is basically the same. It's just really, usually I would say there's probably maybe 10 popular styles and then variations on that. So.
Okay, so there's a basic foundation and then there's the variations on that foundation.
Yes, I would say. That's how I like to think of it. I develop my own style, which is what I present in the book, but the foundation is that of all the other Qigong styles I've been practicing over thousands of years. I came at it more from a Western point of view to kind of make it more simple for Westerners to kind of understand the concept.
Okay. Well, we're coming towards the end of this interview. So before we get to that point, I just want to see if there's anything that you would like to talk about or anything you'd like to let the listening audience know, because I don't want to end the interview and have you get off and say, oh, I wish I had the chance to say this.
Okay. Well, I am offering a 30% discount to your listeners for my Meditation for Health program. All they need to do is enter the code Life-Changing Insights with an S at the end, and they will receive their 30% discount on the Meditation for Health program.
And how long is that program?
Well, I have three different types. I have a self-guided program, which is basically it's an online course, and if you ever need my assistance, I'm there to help you out. There is a 10-week course, which is, of course, 10 weeks, where I'm giving weekly online lectures, and then there's a personalized course where I'm giving you one-on-one coaching. So there's different programs and different prices for each.
Okay. Is the personalized, I guess it's a phone call or Skype or something like that?
Yeah, video conference or a phone call, depending on what the client desires, yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to step into some risky areas here. Is that also 10 weeks?
No, the personalized plan is as long as you want it to be. It's a monthly subscription, and so however long you want that subscription to last. You know, it's really just kind of help get you on your way into the self-healing process to learn to relieve stress and anxiety. So, yeah. And it includes, all of them include weekly emails and discussion questions and all that to keep you engaged in the learning process.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest today. And I also do want to make a comment that I think what you provide is really valuable. And I really want to encourage any of the listeners that have either thought about doing meditation or want to explore other alternative ways of healing to get in touch with Shwangela and see what she does and how it could be of help to you.
Yes, thank you. Oh, I did. I didn't want to give my website. I didn't forget.
Oh, please,
that.
Yeah, give me contact information.
That would be www.seekwithinyou.com. That's SEEKWITHIN YOU.com. And you'll find all the information you need about my program, about how to contact me if you have any further questions there.
Okay, Angela, hang on 1 second because we have a caller. And caller has a question. So can we have that question?
Yes. Can you hear me? Good?
Yes. And what is your first name?
Jacques.
Jacques. Okay, sure. Please ask your question.
Yes. What is like Reiki or pranic healing? What's your opinion about those things? Are those good for you or... is it the same line as what you teach?
Reiki and, well, the concept of Reiki is basically, is we're all connected to a higher source of energy, and you have a Reiki practitioner who quiets their mind and taps into that energy and directs it towards the person who wants to get healed, okay? And it has been shown to relieve stress and anxiety and all kinds of wonderful benefits. I do it. I practice it. When I practice it, in addition to me quieting my mind, I also have my patient or client, however you want to say it, meditate mm-hmm. at the same time so that we're both quieting our minds and allowing more energy to flow through us and to exponentially increase the healing.
And what about the pranic healing?
Excuse me?
Pranic healing?
Yes. It's very similar in nature.
Yes.
It's prana is energy as well. It just depends on your school of thought. Prana is naturally a word that's more used in kind of the Indian style of energy healing, and chi is more like the Chinese style.
Yeah, life force. Prana healing life force, right.
Yes.
But which one is better than the other one? Is it Reiki better? Because one time I had a Reiki, and really, for 3 days, I was drinking gallons of waters. And they mm-hmm. said it's normal because I was, for some reason, dehydrated before even. So mm-hmm. they say you have to hydrate yourself. And then when I had the pranic healing gives you sometimes, because they balance your energy, as you said, mm-hmm. Differently. By crystals and et cetera. You know, I got, they have side effects too. It's like you can have a fever, you can have other symptoms too, 3-4 symptoms. But when I had Reiki, I did not have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that when I go find some Reiki, pairs people and do Reiki, because I think Reiki is more good for my body than pranic. Maybe that's too much energy they do it, but with Reiki maybe they balance it, is a different energy, etc.
In my opinion, I feel that they're all of benefit, and personally I'm of the belief that really the amount of healing that you're going to do is going to be based on how much that individual person allows to happen, okay? So it's really going to be based on how much you're open to the energy that's going to flow, whether it's pranic healing, Reiki healing, Qigong external healing. It's going to be based on you. You're going to self-heal in proportion to how much you allow, okay? So
yes.
If you feel that Reiki is more beneficial for you, then you're allowing more because you believe this. So go with Reiki.
If you feel
that prana healing is going to be more for you, then you're going to allow more, then go with prana. Okay? Go where your belief guides you.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. That's good.
Okay.
But I want to bring to your attention.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're coming towards the end of the program. There's just one thing I'd like to add. And then I also would like to ask you where you're calling from.
Sure.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the United States.
The United States? Okay.
Yes.
The other point that I wanted to make is I think another factor can be the energy of the healer.
Yes.
So you can go to two different healers, and let's say they both practice Reiki, or one practices a pranic healing, one practices the Reiki, and it could be the energy of the healer that you're responding to more than the actual modality. So, you know, as Shuangela in one way or another is suggesting, it's kind of going with your intuition, with your instinct, but it's also experimenting a little bit. You know, who knows, maybe you had a lot of toxins you needed to get rid of. And maybe that's why you had a very strong reaction to that particular healing.
I agree with you 100%.
Excuse me?
I said I'm 100% agree with what you say. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your kindness.
Okay. All right. Well, unfortunately, we do need to end your questioning, but I do appreciate your calling in. And, you know, feel free to contact Shuangela if you want to continue the conversation. I'm sure she'd be willing to talk with you more.
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely. If you contact me on my website or at 530-208-5322, you can contact me there and we can continue this conversation.
Hello, sir?
Oh, I think you
hung up. Okay, I hung up. Okay. Well, Shuangela, we do need to end, but that was kind of exciting to have a really interested caller with all that questions on his mind.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was really good, yeah. Okay, well, you know, again, I want to thank you for being guest on today's show, and I hope you have a really wonderful week.
I am the same to you, and I'm honored to be on your show, and thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste. So we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Alan Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Simberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Simberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Alan at alansimberg.com. Let Dr. Alan Simberg help to enhance your life through effective therapies.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg. And I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. Actually, I have to make a quick change in something that I said before we went to commercial break. I said that I was going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week, but I see that we're almost out of time. So I'm going to save that for next week. But before ending today's show, I want to talk about a book that I was asked to contribute a chapter to. And to tell you that the reason that I'm bringing this up is that I would highly recommend this book to anyone who is going through any kind of struggle and is seeking inspiration and information. This book has 28 chapters, and each author has contributed a background of what they went through in their lives and how what they went through in their lives has contributed to what they're doing today. Additionally, each chapter does contain lessons that they learned and or tips that they offer that can also help other people. Also, I would like to invite you to go to my sales page, which is howourlivescanbeguided.com, if you're interested in ordering this book. The reason I submitted a chapter to this book and the reason I agreed to submitting a chapter was because I felt that by doing this, that I and the other authors in the book could make a difference in people's lives. If you have any questions about the book, or anything that's been said on today's show, feel free to contact me. I want to invite you all back to listen to next week's show, which is next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock, Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg. I hope you have a great day and a wonderful week. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.